Welcome back, everyone, to the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you for coming back to the mountain. For this week, we're ranking each starting five heading into the 2025 Mountain West basketball season. With the transfer portal mostly wrapped up, we have a solid idea where everyone's roster will be. Let's take a look at who should shine for each team next year. Time to dive in. We're going to be starting with the best starting fives and working our way down. Starting at the top, we have San Diego State. A little bit of an asterisk here as Miles Bird is still testing the NBA draft waters. If he returns to San Diego State, he's a Mountain West Player of the Year candidate, no doubt about it, as he's already getting late first round buzz, kind of like Nick Clifford is. But if Miles Bird doesn't start, I do still think this is arguably the top starting lineup heading into 2025. You have two returning starters and BJ Davis at point guard and Magoon Gwath, the reigning Defensive Player of the Year and Freshman of the Year at center. Gwath, another guy that if he takes a jump offensively, could definitely end up winning the Mountain West Player of the Year award. If Miles Bird doesn't end up starting at small forward, it will likely be graduate Reese Waters, the former USC transfer who missed last year with an injury, has over 100 games under his belt and a really solid jump shot, so definitely a solid replacement if Bird doesn't come back to school. And then I have two really solid transfers projected to start as well. Junior Latrell Davis coming in from San Jose State, I think he's going to start at the two for them. He's an electric scorer, one of the top 20 portal additions in the conference, in my opinion. And then at the four, Jeremiah Oden coming in from Charlotte. He is a real wild card here, as the stringy Oden hasn't really excelled since 2023 when he was with Wyoming, but he's got a nice jump shot and handles for his size at 6'8", so he could end up being the offensive focal point if he reaches his full potential. Right behind San Diego State, essentially tied, I would say, is Utah State. A little less continuity in the starting lineup, projection-wise at least, but it does all start at the small forward spot with junior Mason Falslev, my front runner for player of the year heading into this season. He ranked top 10 in all counting stats last year, led the Mountain West in steals, and that was all while being the second option as a sophomore behind Ian Martinez. Truly, the sky is the limit for Falslev. Could not be higher on his stock heading into this season. And surrounding him, you have four really talented transfers. You got two great guard pickups, Colby King from Butler, who has the size, shot, and passing ability to run Calhoun's offense. I have him ranked as my 13th transfer coming into this year. At shooting guard, I think MJ Collins could end up being the starter there. He started for Virginia Tech before transferring to Vanderbilt, was streaky there, but now as a solidified starter in Logan, he could really blossom as a scorer as he gains more confidence. And then in the front court for one, Gary Clark, one of the top transfer additions in the conference this year. Two-time first-team All-Southland pick at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Clark could be the Aggies leading scorer. Not a ton of upside, but he's a guaranteed 15 points and 7 boards. And at the center spot, we have a bit of a wild card here with former four-star Zach Keller. Honestly, this may end up being Carson Templin, who had a phenomenal year off the bench last season. But Keller has huge potential. He's 6'10" with a good jump shot. He hasn't found significant playing time at Wake Forest or Utah, but his ceiling is an all-conference player. We'll see if he can get off of the floor. Next up, we have Boise State. Two giant transfer additions here. At point guard, senior Dylan Andrews from UCLA is going to be the starting point guard for the Broncos. Two-year starter for the Bruins. He definitely regressed in 2024, but he averaged 13 points a game and 4 assists in 2023. And I think he could have a Donovan Dent-like season if all goes perfectly, because he's got that kind of downhill ability, that kind of facilitating ability. I really think Dylan Andrews, if he can get his efficiency closer to 43-44%, he could be one of the best guards in the conference. And Drew Fielder coming in from Georgetown, my second ranked transfer coming into the conference. You could definitely make an argument he's the best portal addition of the year. Fielder started every single game for Georgetown this past year, and he will now star for his hometown Broncos. And the three returning guys around them, starting with Andrew Meadow at the two. He broke out as the Broncos' second scoring option last season behind Tyson Dagenhart, and with a new look roster, he could definitely take the reins as the offensive focal point. I do have Javon Buchanan slotted in at the three, the former NAIA Player of the Year transferring in last season and won Sixth Man of the Year in the conference. Was a really solid showing for him, but there was also a lot of talent shown at the three besides Buchanan. Young gun Pearson Carmichael had a great 20-game stretch, and veteran RJ Keene does so many little things. I wouldn't be surprised to see either of those guys start at the three, but Buchanan does look like he is the front runner at this point. And at the center spot, spot, it is likely going to be Dominic Perelin, the former Lehigh transfer who missed this past season due to a torn ACL. But at full strength, he's a solid big man with a three-point shot to boot. Coming in at the number four spot, maybe a bit surprising if you haven't been paying attention, but that's UNLV. Yeah, Josh Pastner has been cooking up something special in Vegas. Let's go over this starting lineup because it's kind of crazy. It's all transfers, and there's a lot of other talent that we're not going to talk about here. So this is one of these starting lineups that I'm the least confident in terms of the players I've slotted in here, because I definitely think two or three names could be switched out for some other pickups they made. But as of right now, this starting five looks lethal. At point guard, you have Miles Che, who transferred in from UC Irvine, averaged 12 points a game for them and shot 43% from three, just a lethal shooter that could really take over as the showrunner for the Rebels. At the two, I have Howard Fleming Jr., who is a veteran from Texas Rio Grande Valley. He's a perfect scoring wing for Josh Pastner's offense. He's got length, shoots over 40% from three. I have him as my eighth ranked transfer coming into the conference. And if you thought those rankings were high because Miles Che was also my fifth ranked transfer, my top ranked transfer currently at the small forward spot is senior Kamani Hamilton, coming in from High Point, coming off of back-to-back first team All Big South campaigns. Truly a player of the year candidate. He did regress a bit in 2024 as he averaged 18 points per game in 2023, went down to like 13 and a half this past year. Kamani Hamilton has all of the ability to be one of the top players in the conference. And it doesn't slow down with the front court here. At power forward, you have Laji Dembele, a former four-star recruit coming in from Iowa, plays like a small forward despite being 6'8", 250 pounds, and he could really become a star with a higher usage. And at the five, Josh Pastner's first pickup of the offseason, and that was Emmanuel Stephon, the former four-star who wasn't used too much at Arizona, 7 feet tall with athleticism to take his game to the next level. Like I said, there's other names that I could expect to be starting on opening night. Dre Gibbs Longhorn, a phenomenal point guard from Illinois, definitely could see him being the showrunner when all things are said and done. Al Green, the transfer from Louisiana Tech, could definitely start at the two or the three if they want to go a bit smaller. Josh Pastner's left himself a lot of options, along with the couple of other solid players returning from last year's roster. I know I was a bit iffy on Josh Pastner when they first hired him, but man, he has hit home run after home run in this transfer portal cycle. A little behind them, but in a similar spot, we have Colorado State, who with a new head coach of Ali Farouk Namesh, did have to kind of turn the page with a lot of players graduating or hitting the portal. So the only returning starter I see is Rashawn Memba, probably going to slot in at the five, 29 starts last year. Don't see any reason to move him out of that spot. The other four guys are going to be transfers, and all four of these guys are really, really talented. At the one, junior Brandon Recksteiner, a former four-star recruit from Virginia Tech that has game-breaking offensive ability when he's on point. He had a phenomenal performance against Boston College, I believe, in the ACC tournament. It really put his name on the map. If he unlocks his full potential under Coach Farouk Namesh, he will be an all-conference selection, mark my words. And next to him at the two, junior Josh Pascarelli coming in from Marist, averaged 16 points a game on 39% shooting from the three-point line. Pascarelli is an elite wing scorer that will average 10 points a game at minimum. He has the talent to be the Rams' top option. At the three, one of my favorite pickups of the portal cycle, Jevon Mooney is coming in from Florida Gulf Coast, a veteran that does it all. 11 points a game, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists last year. Just going to be a perfect glue guy, even if he doesn't get to 10 points a game a night. He's going to do all the little things. And then at the four, really the biggest wild card here, and that's Kerry Booth, the former four-star who played a season at Notre Dame and Illinois. And he has crazy potential as a 6'10" shot-making wing. He hasn't really tapped into it over these first two seasons in college, but if he's able to do that, like some other four-stars have in Fort Collins, maybe Kerry Booth is the next four-star to ascend into the first round of the NBA draft. Our second team to currently project to start five transfers, and that is Nevada. Let's run down the list here because they got some really talented additions for Steve Alford. At point guard, senior Tayshaun Comer coming in from Evansville, where he started 32 games for them, averaged 16 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists. The efficiency wasn't great, but he will be a great showrunner for the Wolfpack, all things considered. At the two, you got a phenomenal player in Corey Camper Jr., 4 years of experience under his belt with a solid offensive game, but really shines on the defensive end. Was named all defensive team last year, averaging 2 steals a game. He's going to wreak havoc on the perimeter in the Mountain West for sure. At the three, I have Caleb Lowry, a 3-time NAIA All-American. Wasn't able to find too much on him, but seems like a solid scoring option at the three. At the four, a guy that we are all too familiar with, and that's sophomore Elijah Price transferring in from Fresno State. He's a great player with a ton of offensive upside and length, and he can be an all-conference performer if he can hit his jumpers. And at the five, we have Joel Armo trading, transferring in from UC Riverside. Another guy with 5 years of experience under his belt. Typical big man that's going to put up 6 points a game and 6 rebounds, and he's going to do it very well. Unlike UNLV, where I was really unsure of the top five, I think for the Wolfpack, this will likely be the starting five across the board. Maybe Tyler Rollison ends up being the starting point guard over Tayshaun Comer, but other than that, I think this top five is set for Steve Alford. Next up at number seven, we have New Mexico, who finally picked up a point guard in Dayton Albury from Utah State, and I think this really sets him up for a fun year one under Eric Olin. This starting five looks pretty good to me. Dayton Albury at the one, who I had as my top-ranked transfer last season, started at Utah State but was the third scoring option, and now as the showrunner for the Lobos, he could return to his all-conference status that he had a few years ago at Queens. At the two, you have Chris Howell following Eric Olin from UC San Diego, a perfect glue guy who is a lock for the all-defensive team honors. At the three, one of the most intriguing pickups of the offseason, Kevin Patton Jr., coming in from USC, where he just wasn't utilized properly, and he showed ridiculous athleticism and playmaking ability as a freshman at San Diego. If Eric Olin could get the ball back in his hands and let him play make like he was as a Torero, I really think Kevin Patton Jr. could shoot up into even NBA draft boards. He's that talented of a player. At the four, there's a couple players that could end up starting here, but right now I have Antonio Chole, the JUCO All-American who started his career at Rutgers and turned into a dynamic force at the four, can score at all levels, and has the speed and athleticism to guard 1 through 5. Not sure if he will end up starting for the Lobos, but he's certainly going to contribute. And at the five for New Mexico, a big time pickup here in sophomore JT Rock, the former four-star from Iowa State, did not get a lot of playing time, but has big time potential as the Nelly Jr. Joseph replacement. Behind New Mexico at number eight, we have Wyoming, but still a lineup that I'm relatively high on, all things considered, despite their spot on the list. Not a lot of players returning from last year's roster for Sundance Wicks, but you do have Matija Belitz and Abu Magasa, both players that battled a bit of injuries but had flashes throughout this 2024 campaign. I have Matija Belitz starting at the four and Magasa starting at the five, and we have three transfers making up the rest of the starting lineup. At point guard, sophomore Damarian Dennis coming in from Texas A&M Corpus Christi. We've talked about him a few times. He's going to be a great showrunner with his toughness and shot-making ability, kind of a perfect fit for Wyoming. At shooting guard, a really nice pickup that Sundance Wicks got about a week ago. That's former four-star Jared Harris coming in from Memphis. He has elite athleticism and finishing ability. Just have to see if he's ready to shine at this level yet, as he's only a sophomore and only played 15 games for the Tigers. And at the small forward spot, I have Caden Bennett, who started 20 games at Quinnipiac, averaged 10 points a game, 1.3 steals as well on pretty solid efficiency. Definitely looks like he will start for the Cowboys. May end up being at the two, so not exactly sure where Bennett's gonna end up here, as Wyoming probably does still need to add some size. I don't think they have anybody taller than 6'7 at this point, so I'd expect them to add a big man at some point, which could slide some of these starters around. But as of right now, I don't think this is a bad starting five by any means. All right, and then the final three at number nine, we have Fresno State, who is finally starting to make some additions in the transfer portal. We finally have a full starting projected lineup for them. The biggest weak spot here is at the point guard position. Right now, I have freshman DJ Stickman projected to start there. He is an unranked incoming freshman, but he did star at Clovis West High School, where he played under Vance Wahlberg just 2 seasons ago. If he ends up being your starting point guard, I guess he's already familiar with the system. It's not the worst thing in the world. And then the only returning Bulldog with any kind of playing experience from the last season, David Douglas Jr., who won Horizon Rookie of the Year with Green Bay, played 6 games before missing the rest of the season with an injury. He does have a lot of upside if he can find some consistency in his shot. Currently have him starting at the three. And now Vance Wahlberg has made 3 additions from the transfer portal, so those guys all slotted in as starters currently. Most notably at the two, coming in from Clemphis and formerly of Air Force, we have Jake Heidbreder, a name that you guys may be familiar with. He was seldom used in his 2 years at Clemson, but he was an all-conference performer as a sophomore at Air Force, and he will be the number one option for Fresno State. At the four right now, it looks like veteran Cameron Foss coming in from Kansas City is going to be the starter. He will be a solid four, but needs to improve his shot selection. Takes too many many contested jumpers for my liking, which is something that Fresno State already took a lot of last season. And at the center spot, they did add a big man finally, and that's Jack Manny coming in from UC Davis. Only played 18 games during his 3 years there. He definitely is going to start at the five as of right now. He's shown flashes offensively. He just has to tap into it with his extended playing time. Behind them, we have Air Force, who did get a big boost with Kyle Marshall withdrawing from the portal. Started 17 games last year, averaging 7 points a game and 4 rebounds. Showed good facilitating ability. Certainly going to be their top guard heading into next year. The 2 and 3 spot, a lot less solid. Sam Duskin had 8 starts, only shot 35% from the field, though. Currently have him slotted in at the 2. At the 3, I have Eli Robinson, who only played 1 game last year, but nobody else better than him to put in at that spot. And then the front court is looking pretty solid. Caleb Walker played in all 32 games last year, had a really solid year of 6.5 points, 3 rebounds. He's a solid big man that I think is going to be pretty good as a starter for the Falcons. And then at the center spot, Wesley Selahusky, a real wild card here, was able to start 26 out of 32 games this year. So taking a next step up, averaging 8.7 points, but only 2 rebounds for a 7-plus footer. Definitely needs to improve on that end. But if Selahusky takes the next step, Kyle Marshall plays close to an all-conference level, maybe Air Force can get close to 500. Maybe that's not too outlandish to say. And unfortunately, our final team to go over is San Jose State. I do have some good things to say here. At point guard, junior Colby Garland is a top 20 transfer for me. Started 28 games for Longwood and led the Big South in free throw percentage. He will be San Jose State's top offensive option. And Tim Miles also added Adrian Myers, a solid small forward coming in from Mississippi State. He redshirted in 2024, but he has a nice frame and athleticism. If he can find his shot at his new home, he could become a star. Besides those two, we have 2 returning players starting at the shooting guard spot. We have Pasha Gudarzi, who played in 18 games last year, but only shot 28.6% from the floor. Gonna need to get those numbers up. And at the power forward spot right now, I have Christian Wise, who played 15 games as a freshman in 2024, but tore his ACL and missed the 2025 season. And at the center spot, we have no one because, as we talked about a few weeks ago, a problem that still has not been addressed. The Spartans do not have a single player on their roster over 6'6". Yes, they will sign a starting level center at some point. I have no doubt about that. But you're going to need a few big men in the rotation, in the room, to survive in this conference. And I'm starting to get a little concerned as opening day draws nearer and nearer. That is it for this week's episode of the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We're into the thick of the offseason, so stay close to home base for all of the latest news. Also, our Mountain West College basketball transfer tracker is out now, so you can find a link to the constantly updating list of portal entries in the description on your podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at MWC Connection and find all of your Mountain West news at MWCConnection.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on or leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing helps the show out more than that, so any ratings would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening, and special thanks for helping us reach 100 episodes. Until next time, I'm Jack Thompson, and thank you for coming back to the Mountain.